God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Luke 6. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets." Dear friends in Christ, are you happy? Are you searching for happiness? And what does it mean to be happy? Does it mean to be rich, well-fed, popular, accepted, comfortable? As Americans, we believe we have an inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what it says in our Declaration of Independence. We believe we have a God-given right to pursue happiness, and no one can take that right away. Notice it says we have a right to pursue happiness, not necessarily to be happy. The founding fathers of our country were smart enough to know that you can't guarantee happiness. In fact, if the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution guaranteed you had the right to be happy, they would have to start a federal Department of Happiness and have tax-sponsored happiness programs to promote and protect your right to be happy. I can't think of anything more unhappy than getting the government involved in trying to make me happy. When you and I exercise our God-given right to pursue happiness, what exactly are we chasing after? And do we ever stop pursuing happiness long enough to enjoy it when we have it? We seem to be a very restless people, pursuing every possible road to happiness and becoming increasingly unhappy. Look at all the TV ads pushing all the pills to soothe our stomachs, calm our nerves, elevate our depression, ease our anxieties, and deal with our dysfunctions. We pursue happiness in the acquisition of things, believing that happiness is just one purchase away, only to find out that the next purchase never makes us happy for very long, and the pot of gold at the end of the happiness rainbow is full of overdue credit cards. We learn the hard way that you can't buy happiness. We pursue happiness in our work, our achievements, our rewards and recognition, only to find our trophies gathering dust on the mantle and occasionally reminding us of the happiness we once had. Past accomplishments do not guarantee future happiness. We pursue happiness in relationships, some going from relationship to relationship like a hummingbird from flower to flower, looking for that special soulmate who will make us happy. But oftentimes it turns out to be nothing more than using people to serve our own happiness. We pursue happiness in play, hobby, sports, entertainment, and vacation escapes, but the happiness is still fleeting. We still have to come home and go to work the next day, or at least do the chores the next day, in this same veil of tears. And others pursue happiness in all kinds of religious gimmicks. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, which is okay. But can you praise God when you aren't happy? I once saw a Hallmark card that said, "Happiness is not knowing what to worry about," which is essentially the same thing as ignorance is bliss. But does that mean we need to go through life only swimming in the shallow end of the swimming pool, or else we can't be happy? The truth is, happiness is hard to find and very fleeting in a sin-drenched, death-filled world. Yes, there are days that Christians can sing, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." But those days are also mixed with many days of sins, mistakes, hurts, sufferings, mourning, crying, pain, and death. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "If Christ has not been raised from the dead, our preaching is useless, your faith is futile, you're still in your sins, the dead are lost, and we should be pitied more than all people." But then in the next verse, Paul says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, and he is the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep." The resurrection of Jesus is the rock-solid promise and guarantee of real happiness. Present happiness, future happiness, forever happiness. Yet when I say that, some of you are saying, "I believe Jesus is risen, but I'm still not happy, Pastor." So what does the forgiving death and resurrection of Jesus mean? How exactly does it make us happy? Namely this, that if you aren't happy now, you will be in Jesus. True happiness is not a happiness that you pursue. It's a happiness that pursues you. Happiness is found in a forgiving and risen Savior who can't take his eyes off of you because he loves you with a love that just won't let you go. True happiness is found in the good news of a Savior who pursues you, loves you to death, forgives you, rises for you, makes you his child, gives you his entire kingdom, now by faith and one day by sight, which is the basis of the promise, if you're not happy now, you will be in Jesus. Jesus was on a roll. He was healing diseases, casting out demons, raising the dead. His popularity was growing. His power was flowing. So that if anyone just touched Jesus, Jesus would give them good gifts that would make them happy, like healing all their diseases. People found health and peace for the first time in their lives just by touching Jesus. Now, Jesus could have simply left it at that. Just preach a gospel of happiness. Don't worry, be happy. I'm here to fix all your problems and take away all your sufferings. Instead, Jesus told them the truth that gives true and lasting happiness. Our text says Jesus lifted up his eyes, looked at his disciples, and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are those who weep, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, insult you, and reject your name as evil because of me. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." Now let me share one critical word you need to know from the Greek. The Greek word for the English word blessed is makaroi. And makaroi means happy to the highest degree. But now you're left scratching your head, because what Jesus just said is, blessed are, happy to the highest degree, are the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and the persecuted. And so now, Jesus has you sitting there in your pew thinking to yourself, if to be happy means being poor, hungry, weeping, and persecuted, I'm not sure I want to be happy. But I want you to look and listen again. Why does Jesus say, though you are the blessed or happy ones? Why does Jesus say we are the blessed or happy ones? What is it about are poverty, hunger, weeping, and rejection that could possibly make them or us blessed or happy? And the answer is in what Jesus promises to give all who trust in him. What Jesus essentially is saying to all who trust in him is this: what you lack now, you will have. Later in Luke 12, Jesus says, "My Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." What makes the children of God happy, even in their poverty, hunger, weeping, and rejection, is that the entire kingdom of God is theirs now by faith and one day by sight with complete manifestation and fullness of joy. And it is sort of that hidden happiness that is ours in Christ and all that he has given us that undergirds even our lives of unhappiness. What you lack now, you will have one day. Your deepest hungers will be satisfied. Your tears will turn to laughter. Your rejection will be your day of celebration in heaven. And your, by a world that hates Jesus, will result in your heavenly Father's embrace, your bridegroom's kiss, and the Spirit's adoption in the fullness of paradise. Thus, the blessedness of a child of God, our being happy to the highest degree, is born out of trust that recognizes that in, with, and under everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, we have a Savior who is not the way around suffering and death, but he is the way through suffering and death to life eternal, happiness galore in the paradise of God. You may be poor now and until the day you die, but count yourself blessed. Find your happiness in the fact that the entire kingdom of God is yours in Jesus, and it's right around the corner by sight. You may be hungry now, but count yourself blessed, because the one who rained down manna and quail in the wilderness and multiplied bread and fish to feed 5,000, who already gives you his body as bread and his blood as wine for the forgiveness of your sins, of every sin that would keep you out of heaven, and now that body and blood of Jesus gives you access to the wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end, where your hunger and thirst will be forever filled with the finest of meats and the finest of wines. You may be weeping now, grieving over your sin, the death of loved ones, or the grief that others' sins have caused in your life. But rejoice, for your mourning will be turned to joy. Your sadness will be turned to gladness. Your tears will be turned to laughter in the kingdom of God, now by faith and one day by sight. You may be hated now for no other reason but that you love Jesus. Unbelievers may indeed make fun of you, believing you to be dumb or simple or irrelevant for trusting in Jesus. They may consider you evil, because your very presence convicts them of their sin. Who cares? Great is your reward in heaven. You stand in good company, for so they persecuted the saints who were before you, and they persecuted and crucified Christ Jesus. And the fact that they dislike or hate you because you belong to Jesus has a flip side. Namely, that even those who dislike you or hate you because of Jesus, they are all but acknowledging you belong to Jesus. In fact, blessed are you, poor, hungry, weeping, despised, and persecuted disciples, for you're actually being treated just like your Savior was treated, because you're on his team by baptism. Part of his on his team, a part of his body, a part of his risen body. through baptism to die no more. Isn't that great? And the Bible says that Jesus was treated the same. But look what his unhappiness and his sorrows accomplished for us. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. In the wilderness and all the way to the cross, Jesus literally hungered and thirsted to save you. He hungered and thirsted to defeat the devil for you. And he hungered and thirsted on the cross to pay every sin for you. You and I have a Savior who wept for our salvation. And he wept in our place. He was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, in full payment to God, so that we will never have to weep in that place of judgment called hell. And in fact, one day God will wipe away every tear from our eyes in the paradise of God. And finally, Jesus was rejected, hated, beaten, despised, crushed, crucified. Yet by his stripes we are healed. So rejoice. Jesus has overcome your poverty, hunger, weepiness, rejection, and unhappiness, so that you can be happy to the highest degree now and forever in Jesus, with the happiness that comes through the forgiveness of your sins, life, and salvation. Conversely, Jesus also speaks a word of woe to those who are rich, content, laughing, and who are the life of the party. Riches may bring comforts, but they can't buy salvation. Delicacies may cause your taste buds to dance, but man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The world may be filled with laughter and partying, the laughs are hollow and short-lived, for only Jesus and his sheep get the last laugh over sin, death, the grave, devil, and hell. This doesn't mean you can't be thankful for riches, food and drink, laughter and friends. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be happy at all. But these are not ultimately where you will find true and lasting happiness. Jesus' sorrow is over lives. Jesus sorrows over lives that are so clogged up with riches, food and drink, laughter and friends, that we lose sight of the one thing that will bring us joy. So let's hear God's word tell us loud and clear where true happiness is found. Psalm 1. Blessed, happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the word of the Lord, and on his word he meditates day and night. That's where you find happiness. Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy to the highest degree, is the person who takes refuge in him. That's where you find happiness. Psalm 32, blessed, happy to the highest degree, is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed, happy to the highest degree, is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. True happiness is yours. You who are rooted deeply in Jesus' blood-bought forgiveness, trusting in his promises, hearing his words of eternal life, feasting on his body and blood, the medicine of immortality, watered and cleansed in baptism. And you know what? You don't have to pursue that happiness. Jesus already pursued you, and he gives you the happiness that comes with forgiveness, life, and salvation. And he gives you that real happiness every day of your life by faith, until we experience it fully with all of our senses and the joys of paradise that have no end. All in Jesus. Amen.